You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
You're safe. Tell me what happened in the fold. What saved you?
You won't believe me, but this was a sun summoner.
Is this true? Can you summon light?
She's real.
Our enemies are threatened by your mere existence.
The whole world will be after you.
The prize is 1 million Kruger.
Bring me Alina Starkov.
Am I a prisoner?
All of Ravka is. Until you and I enter the fold and destroy it from within.
No pressure. Everyone is looking at me like I'm the answer.
Bring the light. Again.
The only thing more powerful than you or me, the two of us together.
Good girl. Now the work begins.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion.
Hello, Dion, comrade Dion.
Comrade, why are you talking in a Russian accent? What are we talking about?
I'm just rushing to get to the point.
Rushing to get to the point. Oh, that's just terrible. And also down below, who have we got down there? Hello.
Hi, I'm Jill.
Who's the other one?
Who's the other one?
I'm Peter.
Hey, okay, there we go. Hi, Peter. I'm Quinny. And we are the, I don't know, what are we? The Periodic Table of Awesome?
I am freaking excited because I've been waiting for this series to come out for such a long time. And I had to drop on Star Wars Day. Happy May the 4th be with you. I'm really excited to talk about Shadows of the Empire, the new series from Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That, we get to. That's right.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
Let's
get stuck straight into this. I'm going to do the synopsis.
Excellent.
Okay. Shadows of the Empire. Here we go. I'm going to do it in Huttese.
Oh, my shuda mohoney, Princess Leia, Wonky Chewbacca.
No,
Princess Leia, Wonky Chewbacca.
Sorry. I said I wasn't going to do the accent anymore. So Princess Leia organizes a rescue team to, and now I've turned into fucking 3PO, to save a carbonite frozen Han Solo from the hounds of the infamous bounty hunter known as Boba Fett, who is taking Han to the ruthless Jabba the Hutt, Jabba Doom-Weenu. The mission is unsuccessful and Fett gets away with him. That is Shadows of the Empire.
Yay. So just remember, you all established this, the mid-90s.
No, the other
Right, the what? So we're
this show, guys.
We're not doing the mid-90s semi-reboot that created a story in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi about how people go undercover and Chewbacca becomes a bounty hunter. And because you didn't have Han Solo, you included a whole new character called Dash Render, who had a sassy robot that was kind of like from Solo.
Look, you can do that on Friday night.
Fridays
are for.
Come on, Disney, make a Shadows of the Empire. It's absolutely amazing. At one point, Princess Leia almost fucks the lizard. It's great. Yeah, it's
doing actually Shadows of the Boner.
It's kind of Shadows of the Boner. Oh,
yep.
No one wants to talk about Prince Shizor. He's in the corner down there.
Oh God.
Oh well. Okay, fine. I'll get rid of it.
Sorry. Sorry, I do appreciate Amy's comment.
There you
such
go.
A short time slot. Such a lot of nonsense.
But it is Star Wars Day, and yes, I thank everyone for coming along today and not watching The Bad Batch, which is currently screening on Disney Plus on May the 4th. And goddamn it, Hasbro Pulse, please update your website. I know it's not Tuesday in America yet, but I'd like to see what you're announcing today because I want to buy some toys.
And I also just so have, you can put away some money.
I have some toys here.
Yeah. Also, yes. just so you understand. Okay. Today is May the 4th. So, oh God, for fuck's sake.
Oh, why?
He's brought out the toys already.
I have brought out the toys. Look,
it's not that kind of stream, Dan.
That's another one. I can make it that kind of stream.
Please don't. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway.
I've thrown everyone completely out, haven't I? Yeah, okay,
yeah,
fine.
It's not going to be all Star Wars all the time, but Dion has sort of offline beforehand made it abundantly clear that he would like this to be a fast game as a good game. So that he can get along and watch that that old business.
Not going to lie, may have watched 10 minutes already while I was waiting.
Oh, really?
Not going to lie, probably watching it right now. Not actually paying attention to you. Yeah, no, it's great. Shadow and Bone's amazing. Anyway.
I really feel like maybe, you know, you're not giving this the amount of love or like respect that perhaps it actually deserves. Just putting it out there.
Thanks. What are we doing tonight? Okay, what do we got? What do we got? In the meantime, while we were waiting for this whole Star Wars Day to occur annoyingly at the same time as our live show.
How dare it.
What did we watch?
Well, we watched a show that was, I don't know, who was the person that recommended it? Who was the person who was most sort of...
I think that was Pete.
Was it me?
I don't know. Like last week you said you'd already watched 3 episodes. So we were like, well, let's just do that.
I feel like the person that recommended it was whatever algorithm on Netflix that kept putting it in my face whenever I switched it on.
Yeah.
I liked that Netflix, when I turned it on after last week, it had a new thing on the opening screen, which is like, just watch something. And it was just like... Okay, like it's got a randomized thing. So I literally hit that watch something button. Something came up I didn't want to watch. So I hit the watch something button again, and there it was, Shadow and Bone.
Come on. That's harsh. Subtle. That's not even the real title. We couldn't even get that out.
Sorry, Shadow and Mephisto, isn't it? Or no?
Fuck.
Ralph Boner?
The algorithm isn't terrible. No. I do like a little bit of fantasy. I do like a little bit of young adult novel adaptations. So I thought, yeah, I'll watch a couple of episodes of this. And then I watched all. And I was like, well, I've already watched it, so this is what we're doing next week.
Yep.
Excellent. No, that's good. It's good. Effective time management. It's a series that you saw there. You watched some of it. You liked all of it. You suggested it. And then you didn't have to do any of the homework. Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. I love it. I'm down for
this. This is working smarter, not harder.
And honestly, I'm still going to say, I still owe you for putting you through a lot of Mortal Kombat within a week. So sure, let's do that. I'm down for it. Thank you.
I mean, that might have been payback for Carnival Row, but like maybe we can even it out this week. Maybe.
Sure. I don't know. I'm not sure whether we can even it out because, I mean, the thing is, this is an interesting series based on a series of books. Mm. And I don't know. Do we feel like it is specifically aimed at a female audience?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Quinny,
I don't want to assume.
Don't make me put up the checklist, but yes.
There's a checklist?
Yes.
Oh, cool. What's
first, we start with unresolved sexual tension and build from there.
There has to be a romantic three-way. Like you have to have two boys you've got to choose from.
Yeah, bog standard Erst, but also make it a pyramid.
What?
Really? Oh God, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I have apparently missed the information on what has to happen in a YA fantasy novel or YA.
This is perfect fodder for a YA fantasy novel. You have a young female character with unresolved sexual tension with her lifelong friend who just happens. It turns out, it's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. Happens to be incredibly powerful, but just didn't know it. And now has to go on a journey of discovery about how her powers could save the world and maybe get the man as well.
Yeah,
even though she's great.
Even though
she wants pretty stock standard YA.
She wants to reject is, that.
You know.
Yeah, she goes from
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I was saying.
Exactly.
That is true. I was going to read a synopsis, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to put. Good. Sorry.
I think what Peter said was great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to I'm going to put in the chat the synopsis that I am not going to read because screw that noise.
Names that Cody doesn't want to read.
The chat has reached the character limit of 500. So.
Oh, okay. Are you sure? No, please. I want to hear you read these things.
Yep. I'm just going to plonk some big old text down there.
I mean, I can give it a go at reading Russian names.
Oh, okay. Go on. Give it a red hot go. I dare you.
Really? But what happens when I end the 500 character limit?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's ridiculous, and there's a lot of very complicated words in there that I was like, cool, great.
Wait, where's this from though?
This is from IMDb.
No, no, but not the synopsis. Where can you see Shadow and Bone?
Oh,
Netflix.
Excellent.
Oh my god, is that all the setup was for?
Yes, you know it was.
Fucking nut punch you there. Thanks very much.
And he's super super excited because now anytime we say the word Netflix, he can do that.
From whatever Quinny has put up.
Sorry, who wanted this show to be a quick shout out?
Me.
Netflix.
Oh, fucking, don't do that when I'm not looking at the board. From the Leigh Bardugo book of the same name, first of the Grisha trilogy, Alina Starkov and Malin Oretsev are both orphans who grew up together and are inseparable friends. They both serve in the First Army of Ravka. When Maliev is assigned to a ship that's to cross the Fold, a dark, barren strip of land inhabited by monsters, separating Ravka in two, Alina, in fear of being separated from her best friend, gets her way onto the ship. The monsters, Volkra, attack, and while saving Alina, that's all the character limit has.
Yeah, there is another five or six quite long paragraphs in the same kind of thing.
Is pretty much the plot of the first episode.
Yeah, you've covered episode one. So let's talk about the rest of the season, shall we? And also, what did we say just before we came on thing? What is this show about, and who's going to love it?
What?
In suspense. I'm absolutely. Tell me, Quinny, what was it about?
Well, this show is about firebenders and waterbenders and bloodbenders. So this one's for you, Casper. It's Russian Avatar. That's right. Avatar.
Avatar.
Russia. Yes, he's very, very good friend.
It's like Transylvanian Avatar. Avatar.
I don't fucking know.
I want to bend your blood.
So have any of us actually read the books?
No.
Books? People around here don't read books.
We've heard of these funny books you talk about.
This all came out in 2012. We were deep in the Harry Potter wilderness. No one ever picked up any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. Is anybody interested in reading the books now that they have watched this series? Right?
Okay. Yes. I actually got onto Audible to see how much a subscription was so I could just listen to them, but it's very expensive per month. So I'm like, nah. I don't have time to read. It's too expensive to listen.
I'm actually totally with you on that. I had a subscription to Audible and was fucking loving it because I love audiobooks. And then I realized that what I'd thought I was getting as a part of my Amazon Prime membership was actually a separate membership and was charging me completely separately. And I was like, oh, fuck me. So, spending $30 a month or whatever it was just on audiobooks, I was like, ooh, no.
I don't read enough or, consume enough books to make that subscription worth it. If it was, a couple of bucks a month, sure, five.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not much more than what I pay for, just the Amazon Prime subscription.
Yeah.
But, oh, dude, nah.
Yeah. it's 16 or 17, I don't know how much it is a month. And technically, I shouldn't really bitch and complain because when you get, what, one free audiobook a month? So, I mean, and an audiobook would normally be about 20 or 30 bucks or something like that. But, yeah. Expensive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I am interested in subscription, but I do use it, and I think that I'll try these books out. This often happens to me when we look at shows that that are based on books. I tend to be like, well, that was like a good little teaser for going to read the book, but I want to go and see the full story now. You know, I want to go and experience it in its entirety because, you know, adaptations, particularly fantasy book adaptations, it's just, there's a lot of world building to catch up on. And even though I don't know these books, it still feels like I'm missing something.
Peter, were you encouraged? And engaged to go out and search through the Mortal Kombat book series after watching? That is also
So I do have friends that own the books and are reading the books or have read. And from their accounts, the first season is like an amalgamation of a couple of books. So it's already it's adapted from just being based on one novel. For this season,
because like, I did find that going through the series, is it went pretty rapidly, from what I kind of expected, and I was kind of excited by at the speed of it. Like, I mean, honestly, I started watching it going, yeah, I don't know if this is for me, and then by the end of it, I'm like, God damn it, it's actually good. It's actually it's really good, but it's so basic.
I know. I shouldn't like it as much as I do because it is just really basic YA, but there's something enjoyable about it. I'm not sure whether it's the actors. Actually, no, it's the costumes. It's the costumes did it for me.
So Zara, I did think that.
Zara's Russian costuming is your thing, Jill.
Not just Russian costuming, just costuming in general. Well, I've been cosplaying a while.
But specifically the Zara.
Yeah, I mean, it's unusual to have like a fantasy young adult fiction that's not set in like Western medieval times. Mm-hmm. Like, so to see something with the Russian influence, like Eastern European, is like kind of exciting, and it's different.
I like the fact that it's not just people in leather breeches and flowy white fluffy shirts and you know. Heavy duty leather, whatever. It's not The Witcher again. This is something.
Oh, God. Compared to The Witcher, these costumes are next level. I have to tell you, the kefta, is that what they were called? The cloaks that the magic user, the Grisha wear.
Grisha, yeah.
Oh, my God. They are sublime. There has to be hundreds of hours of work in just one cloak alone because all of them are done with a technique called gold work, and any cosplayers online that have heard of gold work, it's stuff that's like metal filament that's like hand sewn, and oh my God, those jackets,
right? So this is no idea, this isn't like the game of,
because I was looking at them thinking, holy shit, even if that's just straight up embroidery, fuck, wow.
So this isn't like the Game of Thrones where they went to IKEA, bought some rugs and just made them into cloaks and then said, go, here's a sword.
it's probably on par with Game of Thrones. Like some of the costumes that Cersei was wearing, there were hundreds of hours of beading and gold work and embroidery in her costumes. And likewise with Sansa. So a whole cast of Grisha with these keftas with gold work on them. Holy shit, I'd hate to think of the budget for this show because it would alone be sunk in production and costume.
I'm just imagining now that it's probably going to be like a whole generation of very tired seamstresses going, I remember the streaming decades. That was a lot of work.
And it's funny, like I have started to try and pay more attention to costume a bit more ever since that thing that we shared about the costuming of the US agent
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I love looking at the costumes and going, okay, what are we saying with this? What's the messages? What are the hidden sort of things that are being communicated with it? And yeah.
Tells the story as much as the acting and the words and the...
Yes, and yeah. I feel fairly sure that General Kerrigan is...
Ben Barnes.
Yeah, that guy. He's very definitely somebody who is into black things. So that's what I picked up from that, like very strong messaging there.
Well done. Yeah, yes. He's just called the Darkling.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I could probably dig deeper, but I don't know that I have to. Yes.
So you don't get the name the Black General for nothing.
Oh, he's called that too?
Yeah. All these sorts of things. You know, he's the guy that you want to root against. Wait, what?
I was going to say, Pete, what is the thing that kept you watching? Like, you watched a few episodes, and what was it that kept you going?
I mean, honestly, I kind of let the first three run while I was doing other shit.
But then you were invested.
So what kept me going was autoplay on Netflix.
That little phrase, are you still watching?
Then when Netflix. You guys were like, we need to review something, I was like, well, I've watched three episodes of this, I'm already ahead. And that's what got me watching the rest of it.
Congratulations.
Okay.
You had to back it up.
The first episode doesn't grab you necessarily. It's a lot of setup. And to be honest, like Dion, you said you're surprised by how quickly it moved. I felt the opposite. I started to get really interested in episode 6. First 5 episodes to me felt like they could have been done in one. Like it just felt like a lot of setup to me. Okay. But it was interesting enough setup for me to kind of keep watching. But yeah, I wasn't like super drawn into the world and the characters. It really took a while for it to tick over for me and a couple of key plot points that started to bring things together for me to go, okay, now this is getting interesting, which is a shame because then I didn't have enough episodes left to really feel like I'd, you know, enjoyed the whole series, just the last few episodes.
I find that weird because like quite a lot happens up to episode 5, and I was like, there's a lot in there, but okay. if you found that a bit slow.
I guess it just wasn't a lot that interested me.
Okay.
But basically,
I don't know, I really got into it when there was that whole thing with the goat.
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of
Milo the goat.
Yeah, like yeah.
I was really on board with Milo the goat.
it's kind of that thing, is you're watching, as I said, I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, this is just, you know, absolute bog standard. Oh, actually, I like them. Why do I like everyone? I know what's going to happen, but I like how they're doing it. Great. Except for the sun singer, whatever her name is.
Alina Starkov.
Yes.
The one who gets talked about a lot, and the name Alina Starkov gets said many, many times.
Sun Summoner. Sorry, that's what her name is. She's the Sun Summoner. But I found her the least interesting of people to watch while I was doing this. And I was like, that's a bit weird. Why am I finding this one a bit boring? But, you know, that's just me.
I actually quite enjoyed her. Though, admittedly, I think perhaps that is because she just reminds me of my friend Rose.
Oh, my God, she does.
She is a dead ringer for Rose. And as such,
I
kind of got this thing where I'm like, I'm just watching Rose go on adventures. It's great.
Then I apologize. Alina is the best character and completely interesting forever. For I also know Rose. Hi, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
You are smart and amazing, and it's great to see you on TV.
Yes, I like that. Alina Starkov, the long-lost Russian family member of House Stark.
Yeah.
Yes, perfect.
I feel like that role is very underplayed, but I didn't hate that choice because, you know, as the... a type of character in young adult fiction that we've seen many, many,
many,
many times in the past. these characters, just because of the way these plots are structured, don't tend to have a lot of agency for a lot of the plot. So that could be why, Dion, you weren't necessarily feeling her for a lot of it, because it's like action happens around them. And you know, she's just being swept up a lot. And maybe one of the things that got me interested in episode six was when she got a little bit more agency and it got a bit more interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, she stops being as reactionary and being, you know, beaten around by everybody and just like, you have to do things. I struggled a little bit. I found I had no problem with her at all, but the thieves,
the crows.
Yeah, the
dregs.
Kaz, and Inej and Jasper.
I liked the crows.
I liked them after about 2.5-3 episodes, but when they were first introduced, I was just like, oh fuck, it's another bunch of, oh, aren't they a bit, you know, cheeky, really? And I was like, oh fuck, you know, and I kept on getting flashes of Artemis Fowl or something. I don't know. There was something about the lead guy, Kaz, who just, I don't know, just made me go, no, I don't want to watch him. He annoys me.
Jesper was my favourite character in the entire series.
He turned out to be quite fun.
So good.
Yes. Yeah. He was the thing that actually kind of won me around to them because I was like, oh, okay, right. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay. He's fun. And I was willing to put up with the dark, broody Kaz guy for the sake of some Jesper fun. And then, you know, you start getting invested in the characters and what their storylines are. And I was, okay, cool. Okay.
Took a few episodes, didn't it, Quinny?
It did, yeah.
This is what I'm saying. The first few episodes are all about character development, but it just takes you a long time to be like, okay, I'm on board with this character. Four episodes later.
I had a great time playing Spot the Background Actor. As well of figuring out, did anyone see some very interesting character actors that sort of popped up in some background scenes? Like, I mean, just as every negative, someone would turn up and I was like, what are you doing there? That's very interesting.
No?
You didn't get Kevin Eldon? So Kevin Eldon, he played the apparat, the creepy spiritual advisor when she was at the Little Pal.
Oh, yes.
But Kevin Eldon is in like a fuck ton of British comedy, usually playing weird, funny characters. Like he was in Brass Eye and, you know, Big Train and a whole bunch of us. So I was like, hello, what are you doing in there? You're playing a straight actor.
Hyperdrive.
And Hyperdrive, everything. Like, you know, all those kind of comedy shows. And he's just not playing comedy. I'm like, well, I wanted a joke out of you there. All right then, fine. Yeah. I'll move over. Or Daisy Head, who she played the tailor. So do you remember
I loved her.
Did you know that she's Anthony Stewart Head's daughter?
So, oh, really?
Yes, Buffy's mentor's daughter. Oh. There we go.
What does that make her to me? Absolutely nothing.
But yeah, just like little bits and pieces like that. I was like, oh, there's a few actors that are in there. And then, you know, everyone else was kind of like, eh, just get back to the main characters. I don't really care about anyone else.
Yeah, I like Zoe Wanamaker as Bagra. I enjoyed her, but I also enjoyed her when she was in Doctor Who as a flat piece of skin.
Moisturize me.
Exactly. That's so harsh. I was like, I liked your work when you were a flat piece of skin. It's like, yeah, ow,
there's no nice way of saying that, is there?
Or, you know, in Harry Potter. Like every other British actor was.
Yeah.
But I found myself not liking any of the Grisha that was surrounding them.
Zoya was all right by the end.
Zoya. Well, I mean, as a character, I think it was, you know, she was okay. But I just kind of found everyone else who was a Grisha or a side character just didn't have anything. They focused so much solely on those main characters and focusing on their story. It was very dangerous. Because if I hadn't had enjoyed watching the three, what was it, the triangle of shame?
the pyramid of awful.
Yeah, will they or won't they themselves into, if I hadn't enjoyed any of that, I would have just been like, oh God, not again. Oh yes, a stag, it's so mystical, bye.
Got to say, hot cast.
Yeah.
Even the side characters, ooh, they were hot.
So we're on board with Mal. We think that Mal is hot.
He's probably the least hot of all of them.
Considering how much like time and effort is put into going, he is the sexiest and the ooh, you know, I was like, oh, okay.
I liked that fire Grisha that got killed. He was good looking. Another thing that I just remembered, the weird side story with the Heartrender girl and the witch hunter guy.
See, that was great. I just wanted to watch that movie.
I was invested in that side story. I liked it.
Yeah. For a while, I was like, oh, okay. Like when that whole storyline started, I was like, this is really fucking distracting and I don't know why you're doing it.
And
I mean, look, okay, cards on the table. I've watched up to episode 4. I haven't finished the series, so I don't know where that goes.
Oh, excellent. But, can't wait for the spoiler section.
Yes, Quinny.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I tried to get through as much as I could.
Does it? It felt that whole side story, like say side romance quest, felt like the Jon Snow you greet thing from Game of Thrones, but from the other perspective. But from Chris, it's kind of like you're an idiot. Love me or die. Which is a whole thing you won't get, Quinny. Sorry.
No. It's okay. I found it interesting and I was like, okay, they're clearly building to something here. I did have a real thing of like, this feels like a distraction from the main plot. And
yeah, it was kind of weird because initially the crows were looking for her because they needed her help with something. Then she got kidnapped by these witch hunters and then it just kind of diverged. And it was kind of like, well, why are we still following her in the witch hunters story? Like, why is this still
because
a thing?
Because it's an awesome ship and awesome ships are what drive YA fiction.
Look,
horny filler is good filler.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with horny filler. I thought it was fantastic. I would have seen that as the main story, but I just don't understand why it was a thing.
And this is why I think I want to read the book, because I was like, there's obviously more going on here. There's more to know about these characters.
Yeah, I just want to know if those two get a happy ending.
Well, he did at one point.
Of a happy ending.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Wasn't there a bit when they had to hug together for warmth, a happy ending for him?
Yeah, I know.
There's
so many good cliches in that side story. I loved it.
I ask though, like one of the things I liked about it, as I said, I was watching it going, boring. Okay, it's fine. speaking of Wiz, I was really surprised and encouraged by how violent it was, because that made a whole bunch of the side stories a little bit more interesting. Because once you figure out that it starts off as a sort of Prussian post 1900 war story where, you know, it's like hand one soldier their gun and another person the bullets and say attack, that kind of a bit shit military fighting, combined with the dark necromantic vampire bat evil thing, combined with
Volcra,
the demon thingies, and also just kind of like how it was really, I know that the story was young adult, but the way that they presented it was very adult. So I was just kind of like, that's surprising and kind of cool.
I did have
think
moments.
Of the Volcra.
I think the Volcra in the 4 episodes I've seen are interesting. I actually like the Fold. I was going to say, I think the Fold is a really interesting kind of thing that reminds me an awful lot of the Wall. From Game of Thrones. It's like,
oh my god, wait till the end of the first season, Quinny.
I'm sorry, I watched as much as I could, but I was busy. I'm sorry, I feel like I've let the side down.
Well, we're gonna spoil it for you anyway.
The Volcra just feel like nothing things. It's like, oh yeah, there's demons in there, so you can't go in. I'm like, okay. Doesn't feel like there's anything else. Doesn't feel like there's anything else to explore there, to be honest.
What I was kind of hoping, and I'm kind of with you on that, Jill. Like, I like the idea that going into the Fold is not just a bunch of, you know, Volcra flying around, but there's other weird shit in there. It's like the fog from or the mist from that Stephen King story that you go in there and shit is all sorts of bad.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the whole premise of it is like there is a country. It has been split into by this weird giant black darkness wall that, that they can, they've worked out they can traverse. You know, you can get through it enough to continue a trade route or work out a whole system of how to get through there because even though it ends at each end of this giant kind of wall, they there's two other countries that hate them that they would have to fight through in order to get around. Like, that is a fascinating concept. It's like, well, you know, if I want to go over the wall or under the wall, I have to fucking, you know, fight a whole country, or we can just send ships through and maybe someone will get through and that's actually acceptable.
I also like, I was kind of hoping that there would be more within the fold, like in that first crossing, you know, it's over very quickly. And I like that setup where they were going with it, where it's like, okay, we turn the lights off. We only have the blue light. I love the idea that that whole crossing is a fucking, it is a journey into weirdness. You know, a little bit like what's the Annihilation? You've got to tie yourself to the mast or something because people go mad in there or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. As it is, it's just a bunch of angry bats, but you know.
angry
bats.
That is the question. Yeah. Why didn't they just dig a hole underneath it? They could have made a tunnel.
There are people that go the long way around and go around the fold. They discuss that very
And they discuss that they tried to dig a tunnel, but the Volker found them while they were digging.
That's right. And they came through the floor. Through the ground. One thing I will say about the series, the first, you know, four episodes that you were talking about, Pete, they do a lot of heavy lifting in trying to tell you a lot about the world. Like,
exposition.
So much exposition. And that's fine, but it is heavy going, and there are a few times where I was like, oh, okay, we need to have a long, you know, monologue-y bit here just so that everyone knows what the fuck's going on,
which again is the problem with adaptations. Because you know, there's a lot of world building that needs to be done. I don't think that it was done poorly particularly. As somebody who hasn't read the books, I've seen a lot of adaptations, particularly from fantasy novels, where I'm like, look, I've read the book, but if you hadn't read the book, you would have no idea what was going on. And I don't think this is the case here. I think it's really watchable. But it's good enough that it's made me really curious about these characters in this world. You know, I'm excited about watching a second season and getting into the books and getting to know them better. So
yeah,
you know, I think in all of those respects, successful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've come out of the end of it going, yeah, I want to spend more time and read more, or
I mean, mainly whatever. Just that sexy side story.
Yeah. And any shenanigans that Jesper gets up to.
Yes. Because I guess I look at this and my first sort of port of call for comparison is his Dark Materials, in that it's another...
I would compare it to Hunger Games, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just mean in the sense that it is long form televised fantasy. Hunger Games, I don't necessarily. I mean,
well,
Hunger
we got Games three is, films that were about 2.5 hours each, so I'd say it's comparable, okay. Even though it was done in cinema.
Didn't we get four films from Hunger Games?
We got too many.
Yeah, one, two, and then they split the last one into two.
Correct.
Yes. Classic. Yeah.
Good times. Yeah. Remember that, great times? We all remember that. Very, very
still the same amount of running time. This was 8 episodes.
Yeah, true. I just mean in the sense that like that his Dark Materials, that series has that same feeling of okay, it's fantasy, we're doing magic on TV, we're doing special effects and everything. And I felt like, even though I watched a season and a bit of his Dark Materials I was a lot more interested in this. I don't know whether it was the visual style or the characters or the world itself. I kind of dug the fact that the world felt really, you know, different, like somewhere that I didn't know and I wanted to know more about.
Right.
it feels like a true kind of fantasy setup world, whereas the setup for His Dark Material feels a little bit more in our world.
Absolutely.
You know, it feels kind of more like, you know, historical fiction with a little bit of magic, whereas for me this felt like, you know, a whole different world. And perhaps it's because it is based on Russia rather than what we're used to seeing, which is like, it's just like London a long time ago because that's where we're filming it.
Yeah. I think all the things you sound like you enjoyed there, Quinny, could easily be served with another TV series that you could watch. I think Avatar is a great show. If you enjoy the bits and pieces from this show, you should actually get onto Avatar The Last Airbender.
I very much enjoy Earthbending, Firebending and
Bloodbending, which is kind of like those things were fun. That poor woman who was the airbender who just like her job was to push the sail. No wonder she was bitter and angry. It's like, what's your job? Push the sail, kid. All right. Yeah.
Yep. Classy. I don't know whether the tick has been passed, but the one where it's like the explosive expert.
Oh, it's going through right now. The explosive grisha called finger bangers. Yeah, that didn't pass the lower house, apparently. Sorry to ruin that. Anyway, Pete liked it.
Shall we rate it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Do you reckon we can rate it?
Sure.
Yeah. Quinny, do you reckon you can rate it? You've only watched 4 episodes. How do you
feel? Okay, well, you just take my rating and divide it. I don't know. Yes, I think I can rate it, but also I want to say, Casper, no, you shouldn't watch The Watch. I cannot express to you enough how much you shouldn't watch The Watch.
I am going to watch the end of the first season of The Watch because I have to hate watch the rest of The Watch. Yes.
I couldn't keep doing it.
I find that I'm it's an even sadder life for me who has not watched Avatar, but will finish The Watch. Isn't it terrible?
Wow.
This is just like another dagger.
Casper has subscribed. Casper is a lovely person who gifts subscriptions to other people. He is doing everything for us.
And now he's like, maybe I should.
Punching him while he's down. This is like the end of fucking Invincible. It's just.
Spoilers.
God,
we got read for spoilers on Saturday, Dion and I, even though it was really friggin' obvious what was happening. Someone read us about it.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah, I got
whoopsie.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is hard to hear, Casper, and we feel bad. Okay, let's rate it.
We've asked you, Quinny, what are you rating it? Just rate it.
Oh, you actually want me to rate it first? I was going to wait and, you know,
get the... Yeah, I know you. You like to wait till the last minute.
Okay, I'm going to rate it 78.
Lovely.
Because I liked the characters. I love some of the visuals. I enjoy where it's going and am intrigued enough to keep watching. Like there are other series that are fantasy that are, you know, trying to slip into that Game of Thrones space, which is a very, very big space now to fill.
Not that big.
And
the last few seasons of Game of Thrones left a very big hole.
A big hole that smells bad.
They're trying to prop up with a prequel.
No, it's still fine. Come on, guys. Yeah, and I just feel like there is, like, Game of Thrones proved that something works. So all of these networks have gone, fuck, we need to do this. And sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. And in this case, I think it has worked. So, yeah, I will definitely finish the series. That's you know, a pretty strong indicator from me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Right.
And we've convinced somebody Casper to watch it.
I'll go.
Go for
it, Jill. I'm going to give it 88.
Ooh. Oh,
nice.
Because it's unusual for me to enjoy young adult fantasy as much as I enjoyed this, that it even got me on the internet to look for the books. And just the costumes are great. A handful of the characters I really enjoyed. I don't know, really liked it for a change. It was great.
for change.
Yeah.
That's good. We like it when you like things.
It was funny because, like, even by the last episode, I was, like, yelling at the TV going, come on, girl, get up. Go on, hurry up. Go, get him, get him.
Oh, you got proper involved, didn't you?
Yeah. I got, like, super into the last episode. Sounded like my mum. Yeah. Going, oh, my God.
Blindy's freaking
You were just
off.
Waiting to go on Gogglebox, aren't you?
Oh, no, my God. Yeah. That could have been a Gogglebox episode, me on the couch watching Shadow and Bone.
Could be.
Nice. Okay, Dion.
Everyone knows that I walked into this going, great. Guess I'll have to. Damn it, why is it all right? I was so disappointed about how much I enjoyed it. You know, I was disappointed in myself.
I feel like you need to examine why you didn't think you'd like it, Dion.
Yeah, I just you came in with a bunch of like prejudgments and
not prejudgments. I just kind of was like, oh, this is like it was kind of a little bit like you're watching the beats happen in a series where you're like, oh, this is just. Exactly, like as I said, checklist. You could checklist off everything, but I think the really interesting way that they did—they didn't do anything narratively interesting. But the way that it was presented, i.e., the costumes and the effects, and the even the way they focused on the small form acting of interactions and how that kind of went, I kind of went, well, actually, that's actually way better than I fucking expected it to. I was thinking this could be like a Twilight-ish kind of terrible acting, awful script. I mean, God, you just, you know, people reading lines and not giving a shit.
Especially for a lot of unknown casts,
Yeah.
And there's no name in this to really hang shit on, is there?
It's
Ben Barnes is as big as a name as we've got.
You leave Prince Caspian alone. He's a fucking god. Yeah, I know. Okay. More from Westworld because he's cool in Westworld. Or terrible. I don't know. Anyway.
He was the guy in Punisher to me.
75. There we go.
75 from Dion.
I know. I thought I would, like, it's kind of, do I want to return to it? Like, I'm okay. I can wait for the second season. But also, it was interesting. Like, oh, yeah, like, that's cool. I just don't know where they're going to go now. And I'm a little bit like, oh, okay.
Really? Like, that entire first season was just set up.
Yeah, I understand that, but I still kind of go, oh, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm all hopped up on, you know, Star Wars Day, and I can't think straight unless it's got a Stormtrooper helmet on it.
I'm going to go in at 79 because I don't quite feel it as an 80. I did enjoy it, but it took me a while to get into it. And there are certainly some things that I won't talk about because they're spoilery, but are kind of like, and here's the next plot point, you know?
Yeah.
Barely an inconvenience kind of stuff that is just a little bit like, okay, but like the plot's moving, so it's fine. I'm going with it. But yeah, it got me interested enough. I'm interested in watching the next season. I did enjoy watching it and it's introduced me to a world that I can spend more time in now, and that's kind of exciting.
Cool. Well, my question is, do you want to go and watch a little clip and talk about spoilers, or are you happy just to let people experience it based on that? I mean,
I like that Dion's like, so we could just fuck off now.
Yeah. Look, how about we do a clip and then, like, hard and fast 10 minutes of spoilers and then we can go.
Okay, cool. And how, Quinny, how are you for that?
I'm okay with that. I will, who knows, maybe I'll go and watch another episode after this and not watch The Bad Batch.
Fuck you. All right, we'll go to a clip and then we'll come back and do hard and fast 10 minutes of spoilers and then we're out. Peace out.
Okay.
She is Alina Starkov, the Sun Summoner, Moya Zaritsa. She will change the future. Starting now.
Now call the sun.
Come on. If this isn't a show, like, if this is a metaphor about how a young girl gets her first glow after being touched by.
Jesus. Wow.
Jesus, dude. Let us know when we're coming back from the clip. You.
I think we're already back.
Jesus.
Wait, did they come back just in time for us to say, Jesus, it's a long fucking clip, isn't it?
Yes, it is a long clip. Wait, I have to put the spoiler logo on. Yes, okay, there it is. We're all up to speed. Okay.
So there was a lot of discussion during that clip about Ben Barnes and Prince Caspian.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, Ben Barnes, like, you know, people.
I think I was even in love with Prince Caspian just from the books, just from reading Voyage of the Dawn Treader, like, far out. And then you give us Ben Barnes in that film adaptation. Yeah. Even though, like, he's been an arsehole in everything he's acted in since, he's still a hot arsehole.
I would also like to say that in this particular season, I was a bit pissed off about how many other interesting characters they kind of killed, and it shat me a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Mal's army buddies.
Oh,
I really liked that.
Oh, my God. That other cartographer in, like, the first episode.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Just.
He was cute.
You know.
Gone.
Just cute.
Yeah, we. I do like it, though, because it's like, here's a bunch of characters you may want to get invested. Nope.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder. I didn't mind about the cartographer. He had kind of like bad, nice guy energy to me.
Yeah.
He gone.
I mean, like, that weird Ben Affleck energy. It's very uncomfortable.
And this is the thing, too. Like, I love that they set up in this Erst triangle of whatever that they were doing, is that I'm waiting for them to do the cross that they're supposed to do. So you've got Alina Starkov, who is, you know, the one that that has the hidden power and is in love with two guys. And then you've got the evil one who is the sexy evil one. And then you've
I don't think Quinny's even gotten to that.
Yeah, Quinny, he's that we're about to destroy the whole show for you.
Oh, no. I mean, Quinny's destroyed.
Ben Barnes being cast as this character is kind of a dead giveaway from the beginning.
And the first time that he does anything, where he's
called the Black General.
Power. Yeah. I mean, they're not exactly going subtle on this, so I kind of figured where we were going with it.
Have you seen any other dark benders? No.
No.
So maybe that's a hint. But
I kind of got where we might be going with that.
I sort of, you know, you've got the evil guy, but who maybe have done it for a good reason. Like, so there's the evil guy who may have been doing this for a good reason that they sort of put up. But I'm waiting to see when they turn, you know, Mal, the good heart of gold kid, does something evil, because it always has to go that way. And she doesn't know who she chooses. And maybe she just chooses herself and becomes a hermit, and I'd be happy with that.
As long as one of them doesn't turn into a werewolf and the other one is not a sparkly vampire, I'm okay.
No guarantees, Quinny. No guarantees.
I mean, the difference between that and this is that both the werewolf and the sparkly vampire were kind of decent and not evil, and the choice was a little bit, you know, more about who is right for her. Neither, right. But who is right for her, rather than like, oh, no, this one is just like flat out evil and manipulating me. So, like, no brainer.
Yes.
Go to this other one. Exactly. And that reveal was not very satisfying.
It was not.
Because it's like, oh, there's a love triangle. Oh, no, there's not. She's just immediately been like, well, fuck him then, I'm off.
Like, you could tell that, you know, the Black General, whatever the fuck, was evil from the get-go. But when they had the reveal in episode 5, I was just kind of like, duh.
Yeah, duh. I mean, I found it more conflicting, and I still don't really know which way, upon which side she lies, is the tailor, the one who does it. Yeah. Like, I'm still like, oh, she great. Oh, she not. Oh, she great. Oh, she not. Mm, like, I still don't know. And that's the one I kind of like. I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting character, because I still don't know where they're dropping down to.
Yeah, because they kind of revealed something about her later in
the series. I'll take these out. You just do what you need to do. I'll be over here.
But she was a spy for the Darklings. So.
Just wave at me when you're done.
Yeah.
but we still don't know if she changed her mind after getting to know Alina or not.
I mean, I think it's a situation where she doesn't have a lot of choices, or she doesn't perceive that she has a lot of choices in life, and she is working the side that is most beneficial to her. It is true that she did try to warn Alina, who was fairly...
It was very vague.
Clueless about what was going on there.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair to her, it was like, oh, sweetheart, like, open your eyes.
I mean, come on. If there's one story that you want to learn from... Well, wait, hang on. Quinny, you can come back now. You can come back. There you go. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to spoil anything. But you see, right at the end when...
So who do we want to see more of in the second season?
Jessica.
Hot side story.
Yeah.
Sexy witch side story.
And the dregs, or the crows, or whatever you call them.
Those
three were fun. I liked that they had a bit of Erst in there, especially for that guy with the goat. That was weird, but I can get on with it. Like all of those things seem fine. And now I'm kind of a bit dulled. I'm a bit dull bored with the two main characters now, like Mal and Alina. I'm like, they should go off in the second season and just be away searching for something and then let the rest of them go around, because it's a bit...
Do more interesting things.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay.
I kind of feel like, you know, her being the Sun Summoner and everything kind of makes her a key character that probably, you know...
I do like
might
Amy,
be important.
Amy's comment, which is Jesper sexcapades filler episodes only.
Yes,
just that, just him hitting up like farm hands, stable hands. Like, what's up?
Yep.
I also kind of want to see more of the. Oh, actually, no, I don't. I don't want to see any of it. I've decided that I've finished. No, I've finished. Okay. I don't want to see the second season. I'm out. I'm changing my review 10%.
Okay.
Wow. This is a bit of sharp about face, and I'm uncomfortable, and I don't know why you've done it.
My character arc is my own, Quinny.
Okay, good.
There were quite a few moments that were a little bit annoying in terms of like, well, you know, that moved along the plot very easily there, didn't it? Like when all is revealed to Alina by a character that she's already met quite easily, and then she just kind of toddles off from that situation quite easily with zero resistance.
Oh, I know where I was going now. I've got it. I was really disappointed with the stag hunt, that it took no time at all. Sorry about that. Yeah, magical, you reminded me.
I started a song while I was watching that, which was just called Magical Reindeer Shit. Yeah.
Like, come on, didn't they establish,
I got very excited about myself.
Didn't they establish that these mystical animals, which had infinite power, and they were hunted down because you could bond them into like the Grisha and amplify their powers, and everything was great, and this was like the last one that had managed to evade everyone, and they found it in like a half an episode, and then it got...
But it was cold.
Wait.
That was very hard because it was very cold for that half an episode.
I feel like Mal went through quite a bit to find that reindeer.
Mal went through a lot of shit in the whole season. How many times did that boy get close to death?
I know, right?
And
I also stayed true the whole time.
Is he the only person that got shot by a fucking...
bitch that she is?
Yeah.
I did like the fact that, you know, a couple of days in the little Paris and she's like, yeah, and I get rid of mascara. I don't need that anymore. Meanwhile, Mal's out there, you know, like hunting down shit and having his friends killed by a machine gun.
Yeah.
Also which that, is like perfect YA fodder. Like he never gave up on her, guys. It's so yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, he is the perfect man and I will hear nothing bad about Mal.
No, exactly. That's why he is the perfect man. And that was why it was just so fucking boss of him to be like, I know where this thing is. It's like, well, just tell me. He's like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to see my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me in. Tell also, me. I did have that thing where I was looking at this beautiful stag and I was like, isn't there a whole thing about the only the person that kills it can get its power? And I was like, oh, yes. that's going to end badly.
Don't worry. That's what they get to in what's called a callback, Quinny. That moment
I'm
comes.
I'm sure that happens in the second half of the season. Yes.
That comes at the end of the series, at the last episode where they reference it.
Excellent.
You know, that things unfold, Quinny.
Yeah. Unfold. Yes, I, well done. Oh, congratulations, Peter. That is an excellent one. There we go. Perfect.
And aside from Quinny, who doesn't know, are we excited about the essentially Darkling White Walker situation that we're going to end up with next season? Or are we like, we don't care, we just want our stories?
I thought that was
actually
fucking
no,
great.
I was really excited about that.
Yeah, I thought that was actually quite amazing to go like, oh, okay, well, obviously they're not wrapping it up. Like, this hasn't wrapped up and that's the end. It's like, well, of course he lived. But then to have that whole thing at the end, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it also comes to this other idea of like, what is he doing? What is his end game? Because if he's been doing this, and we're talking, of course, about the Darkling, Quinny, if you can't guess the main evil character.
Yeah.
I still didn't even know what his fucking purpose is. Like, what are you doing? Like, you've created this situation and you've been living it for hundreds of years and I still don't know why.
To get his end away with young, attractive women. I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty gross if that's the case.
Yeah.
He is kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean,
like manipulating Alina.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like his motivation probably has evolved through the ages. I feel like it is one of those situations where, you know, at first he's like, this will fix things. And now he's like, power for me.
Yes.
Power corrupts, Casper. Much, that is correct.
Much like in the chat, I will say that General Kerrigan, whatever his name is like Rasputin. It's just kind of like, he just doesn't die. No way to die. Stab him, poison him, throw him in a river.
Yeah, boil him, mash him, stick him in a stew.
Yeah. It's all kind of weird. You know, I don't understand his.
And I mean, I do like that because this is coming from a different storytelling background. Like, this is, you're referencing character archetypes here that are different from what we would see. So, yeah, I mean, it may well be a very distinct reference to Rasputin. And, you know, we're talking about kings and stuff, but we're really talking about czars. And lineage happens in a somewhat different way there. And I like that. I like the fact that I don't necessarily know how this world works. I love the fact that there was a group of cartographers and that seemed to be a really important thing. It's like... Yeah. Really?
That immediately went away after episode two.
Yeah, I was disappointed by that.
It became less important.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, maybe mapmakers are really revered in the society and it's because they allow people to wayfind through difficult places or whatever. Nah.
I love that my current experience of like Prussian history is either this show or Catherine the Great. And I tell you, I've enjoyed both.
Like,
let's be honest.
I haven't watched Catherine the Great, so.
Well, just the Great, right? Not Catherine.
Oh, well, sorry. Yes, sorry. The Great. I'm sorry.
Oh,
you just watched The Great, haven't you, Quinny?
No.
Oh, God.
This is
a new fun thing for you.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
What can I tell you? I live a strange life where I don't.
Okay.
Look, Quinny.
Quinny will not be watching Bad Batch in 5 minutes. Quinny will be switching on to Stan watching The Great.
I was going to say, okay, that's it, Quinny. You're just putting Avatar on the back burner. We're going straight into The Great.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Casper. Once again, Avatar, which was coming up next week, is...
No, don't. Anyway, we've gone past our allotted 10 minutes of spoilers.
We have.
Excellent. Any other spoilers you want to talk about? What else can we spoil? Because, yes, it's getting beyond time, and I'm now 6 minutes late for my date with Disney Plus.
I do like Predacanga's thing in the question of Alina's agency for most of the series, but she doesn't exercise it. But as soon as she tries to exercise agency, it is taken away. Is that normal fare for YA targeted at girls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is the answer to that. Yes, it's also, it's normal fare for a plot when you make your main character super duper powerful and then you have to still make plot happen. Sure. You have to find ways for her to not be able to exercise that power. Otherwise, the book ends really soon.
Yeah.
But that is 100% normal fare. Yeah. For YA fiction targeted at girls.
You are the savior, but you don't get to be the savior yet because you've got to be deep.
Because you have to struggle first.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to struggle so hard, guys. You don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, much like how they gave Superman kryptonite.
yes,
Superman exactly is like the best of us, except the kryptonite's here and humans can beat the fuck out of him. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny when you talk about that, and I do think about some of the other stories of superpowered people, and you go, oh, yeah, no, they really do, don't they? I mean, even Captain Marvel, you know, she is a character that is fucking hugely powerful and possibly the most powerful being in the thing. And it's like, no.
She literally had a power suppressant on her.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, yeah, right. I mean, admittedly, that is the narrative of that film. So that makes,
but still,
more sense.
She had to struggle.
Yeah.
Just remember.
You're not allowed to have powerful women who are just powerful and are good.
You're already powerful. You just need to believe
in yourself.
Oh, well
done, Quinny. You worked it out.
Yep. Look at me go.
You worked it out.
I'm going to reread some Tamora Pierce now, actually, speaking about powerful women.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that before I get stuck into Shadow on Bone.
I can't wait. I want you to come up with Peter's book club. There we go. Tell us what people should be reading.
Peter's young adult fantasy book club.
Yes, Peter's.
I'm just
Yafber.
Trying to work out what the acronym for that is.
Yafber. Yafberke. Join in to Peter's Yafberke.
What are we doing next week?
Hey!
I'm never going to tell you.
And that's the joke.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah. So we are looking at The Nevers, which is the new series that I believe is on Foxtel.
HBO.
Foxtel.
Hulu or
HBO? HBO Max.
HBO
in the
Max.
US.
Yes. Yes. How do we write a steampunk show without calling it steampunk?
Yeah, and how do we make the show and make sure it's popular enough, but then also try and divorce it from its creator enough that we can go on to do a second season?
But if it's from this creator, it's probably only going to get one season, so just enjoy it while you can. Even though all the characters are wonderful, the acting's great, and the storylines are quite interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I mean, it did. They've shifted showrunners on it, haven't they?
Yes, I have no idea. I've seen.
No, they have.
Okay. Yes. Well, then all this and more will be discussed next week, it will be a good time.
Yeah.
I do want to say thank you to everybody who came along on Friday and joined in the conversation with Anthony O'Connor about his book Straya.
Was it all jinky dye, true blue Aussie jingoistic stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Was surprisingly entertaining, and the book is now on sale and is doing very well.
Yeah, awesome.
And a few people who joined us went straight out and bought it that night.
Oh, so. Sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking Struth beauty.
Yeah, fucking.
Don't be a drongo. Get on Australia.
Oh, my God. Shit, dude, you actually have to read the book now. And yes, there was a lot of conversation about Aussie film and genre film especially, so it was a lot of fun.
What are we doing? What are we doing next week? Obviously, the Nevers on that, but what are we doing on Friday, Quinny?
I don't know.
Friday.
You don't want to talk about The Bad Batch on Friday?
Oh.
Well, I mean, we may do. I mean, do you want to talk about The Bad Batch, Steel?
Nah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Go then.
Okay.
Time.
The situation, Dion.
Yeah, it's not like I've got the button that's like, okay, you can go now. I love that it's kind of like, yes, Dion, it was always allowed. You can shut it off. I'm the one who runs it. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, yes, I am off to watch The Bad Batch. Happy May the 4th, Star Wars Day. Don't forget about Revenge of the 5th. And The Empire Strikes 6. I don't know. Some euphemism.
Oh, I got a joke for you.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Where do the Sith shop? At the mall. Everything's half off.
Oh! Oh!
that's a good one, actually. I'll pay that. Yeah, yeah, well done.
Yeah. Well done. It is a good one.
excellent, excellent. All right.
Anyway, may the 4th be with you.
Yay, yes. I am with the 4th and the 4th is with me.
I am with the 4th and the 4th is with me. We just make that sound like you've got a lift.
Yeah.
All right. I've been Dion.
They are.
Oh, God. Fuck it. All right. Okay. I'm out. Oh, yeah. Don't. Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hearts and bones. Hearts and bones. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She said, why don't we drive through the night? We'll wake up down in Mexico. Oh, I don't know nothing about no Mexico. Tell me why won't you love me for who I am, where I am? He said, 'cause that's not the way the world is made.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.